Hello, everybody. It's me, your boy Kendo. You know what that means. We're back, baby. Tales Yet Told, back in your podcatchers, here to bring you good stories that you haven't heard before. You could call them Tales Yet Told. Now, the episode that you're about to listen to is actually from our live stream, Prayers in the Static, our most recent one, actually, that happened 2 weeks ago at this point, I'm pretty sure. It's our game of Echo with our good friends Irene and Nathan. This was a lot of fun. It's a map drawn game, whatever. You know, you're going to figure out what it is once you're listening to it. But this just gives you a little bit of a hint as to what's going on in Prayers in the Static, just in case you're not listening every other Friday on the Bards and Brews Twitch, which is something you gotta fix. Actually, this upcoming Friday, we have another stream at 7 p.m. Central Time, as always. But you can find that info on our Twitter, so go ahead, go check that out. I just want to tell you, you know, because this is a stream, it's a stream recorded audio quality. So it's not the best, but it definitely is very passable and very listenable. So if there's a bit of, you know, background noise and stuff, it's because, well, this is pulled straight from a stream and edited down. So that's kind of why it's like that. Just a reminder, Tales Yet Told is bi-weekly now. So instead of a new episode coming next week, there'll be one right after that, which would be July 20th, I believe. Yeah, it should be July 20th, and that'll be the kind of wrap-up of this game of Echo. Should be two, and then, next month, we got some good stuff coming for you. Let me just tell you that right now. But before that, you know what else is launching today? You got this new episode, but you also have our merch store. Yeah, that's right, baby. You can get your Tales Yet Told merch at merchyetsold.com. And you can find links to that on our link page, or, I mean, well, it is literally just merchyetsold.com. So just type that up in your browser, and then you can get this all the stickers, mugs, shirts, and all that good stuff that you could possibly ask for. I don't know what that word is that I almost said, but this is a great way for you to be able to, you know, help support this podcast. All the money that would be going into that goes into help manage the podcast. That is paying artists, that is hosting fees, that's all of the management and stuff that goes, that really is just coming out of our pockets. So any kind of help that you are willing to give, and we very much appreciate, and you also get cool merch out of it. So go ahead, get some stickers, post about it, let us know when you get stickers and shirts and mugs. We'd love to see you with it. So that's all I got. I didn't want to keep you all too long because this episode's going to be real fun and real good. So I will see you all not next week, but the week after. Bye.
If you're out by where your old pal Sunlight is this evening, might I suggest taking a second to marvel at some of these old ruins out here this evening. The sunset is hitting them just right. Resilient grasses and mosses and vines finding purchase amongst the crumbling pillars of glass and steel. You got old wilds from the war serving as shelter to all sorts of critters and shady fellas. Some of them, believe it or not, got fusion drives still up and running and emergency beacons that go off every once in a blue moon. And reasonable folk know to steer clear of all that mess, but if you know kids, they're anything but. Speaking of which, we got word that there's a couple of kids out there who found an old Echo drive with the pilot construct still functioning, and are trying to reunite it with its WoW. Now, obviously, we can't condone this sort of highly dangerous activity, not a bit, but since you kids aren't liable enough to listen to old Sunlight, I'll just ask that you be safe. Oh, and kids, check your inboxes. You might find a map with all the WoWs in your vicinity currently transmitting distress signals. Happy hunting, kids, and stay safe. Don't need nobody getting hurt out there.
Thank you.
everybody, and welcome to another episode of Prayers in the Static with two lovely new people. Two of, I would say, up there in my favorite people. And Ibrahim's always obviously at the top of my list as well.
I'm so here three too.
Amazing people. I am Kendrick, or Kendo, whichever you prefer. I'm not necessarily a game master today, so I will be one of your hosts. And you can find me everywhere on the internet at Kendo Makes Films. And with me today, as always, is Ibrahim.
Oh, I thought you were going to go around the circle there. I don't know why I thought that, because we always do the same thing every time.
Always. Also, wait, I use they, he pronouns. Forgot about that. Now,
Ibrahim, yeah, don't forget the pronoun check. Hello, everyone. My name is Ibrahim. I am one of your lovely hosts today. I am on Twitter and on TikTok and on all those places. But let me talk to you about something more serious today. Abortion rights are human rights. That's it. And I use he, him pronouns. On to...
Yes, and with us today for the first time is the most spectacular Irene.
Hi, I'm Irene. I'm at Space Job on TikTok and Space Job RPG on Twitter, which is pretty new to me. So we'll see how long I stick around on Twitter. It's scary. Yeah, and I also make games on itch.io sometimes.
Amazing. And last, but of course, certainly not least, is the one and the only Nathan Reckless Attack.
Oh no, is that my new
like, is that not your full name?
Yeah, my Christian name. Believe it or not, it is not. You can call me that for hashtag branding reasons. But yes, hello, I'm Nathan. I use he, him pronouns. I am best known as Dungeon Master of the Reckless Attack podcast, 5e podcast. New episodes Tuesday, blah, 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 blah. But super duper excited to be here. I guess you could also find me at reckless_attack on Twitter, which is somewhere down there, or my personal Twitter, which is at lursblurbs. That's my thing that I have to say.
Amazing. Something about saying the word lursblurbs, very good.
It was an early, I was in the student newspaper in college, and that was the name of my sports column at the time. And then I was like, I guess I have to start a Twitter, and that kind of works as a Twitter. And then here we are like 12 years later or whatever the fuck. So
very nice. It stood the test of time. Let's see. All right. Today, you know what? It would feel wrong to pretend like nothing has changed. It would feel wrong to ignore this. So if you have not heard the news yet, I'm terribly sorry that this is about how you find out. But in America, the Supreme Court has made the very unfortunate and very inhumane, personally, I just feel is very inhumane decision to strike down Roe v. Wade and putting untold amounts of people in bad situations, in quite literally physical harm, and deciding and continuing to decide that their lives and voices don't matter. That's obviously bullshit. And you know, I obviously can't speak for all of the people here, but at the very least, my heart, my empathy and my love and support goes out to everyone currently affected by this. I want everyone to know that you are loved, you are appreciated, and please, 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 please take care of yourselves. If you need to unplug and take time for yourself, spend time with your loved ones, go take a nap, read a book, drink some tea, whatever you need to do to take care of yourself today, please go do that. And we will get through this. And together, hopefully, we can push for, fight for, and advocate for a better world where everyone is treated with the decency that they deserve. And with that out of the way, normally we have, as I mentioned in our pre-show, we usually have pretty dark games here, pretty sad games. But today, we're just going to be some kids looking at cool robots. So you know what? Hopefully, we're going to have a good time. And this will be a much-needed distraction for all of us.
And that's all that will happen. Nothing bad will happen. Nothing sad will happen. There will be no conflict. It'll just be us all having nice times as preteens and teens.
Yeah, as far as I know, there are no rules for combat in this game. And so that means nothing bad can happen. Nothing sad can happen if no one can throw a punch.
Yep.
No one can get hurt.
Definitely
no,
true.
No one dies today.
It's a low bar, but you know, sometimes that's all you got. That's all you got is low bars.
Yeah, right. If you didn't already know, today we are playing Echo, the RPG. I know the creator's app because I added them on the bam, there we go. Found it. So Echo is created by, and I'm so terribly sorry if I mispronounced this name, Kai Po, which you can find him over on Twitter at Tunkaipo, TUNKAIPOH. I'm just going to also link this in the, bam, look at that. I haven't had a chance to play Echo yet, but having read over the rules and like kind of going over it with everyone else, I think I'm going to like this game. It seems fun. It seems very sweet and will give us a good chance to continue to do a lot more world building around something we haven't quite talked about yet that we know exists in this world, and that's big robots. So with that, I guess I just want to ask everybody, how do you all feel about big robots?
Love them.
Yeah, positive for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Never had any bad experiences with big robots, you know?
No one ever has.
Yeah, and no one has.
I think I came onto the wrong stream because I feel like that was a much more muted response than I'm about to bring. Where yeah,
no,
I
please.
I will endorse a solid fuck yeah to giant robots. In fact, more giant robots equals more better story, I think. I think that's one of the great reasons why you shouldn't listen to Reckless Attack is, as of yet, there are no giant robots in our fantasy podcast, and so I'm excited to finally be part of a good show where there are giant robots.
I'm glad that you've decided to change your ways and embrace the giant robots.
Yep. And remember, it's never too late to add giant robots into your story.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know, just because it's fantasy doesn't mean there can't be giant robots. Mm-hmm. Robots can be made out of anything.
So no, I'm fucking pumped for giant robots. I'm ready. I'm trying to not be too weird about how excited I am about giant robots.
There's no such thing as being too weird about loving giant robots. Okay, wait, maybe. Never. I'm going to take the thing I said back. There is a line. Is a line in which you love giant robots. Maybe a little much. I'm not here to shame anyone.
Okay, you don't have to. I will. Please do not go to the Odaiba Gundam and do anything that you wouldn't want done on your lawn, in your house. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Again, the stream of setting low bars. I'm here for it.
Very low bars. Okay. So let's talk about this game that we're playing.
Oh, right. So, we're playing.
Yes. So we are playing Echo, as I said. Echo is a map drawing and world and storytelling game. Kind of a world-building game. We're going to be using it as a world-building game a little bit. So in this game, it's a GM-less game of three or more players. Hey, look, there are three or more of us. One of these players will be playing a pilot, a deceased mech pilot whose kind of like personality construct has been saved onto an echo drive. And these echo drives are kind of like black boxes, is kind of how I've been picking them up as, except like having the, you know, psychological construct of the person who used to drive the mech or pilot the mech. And the rest of us, three of us, are going to be children. And these children are going to be three kids who have found the echo drive of this pilot. And before the echo drive stops functioning, we're trying to get it back to its mech. And in doing so, we're going to be traversing the nearby landscape of our war-torn country that is littered with destroyed mechs from the previous war, which within the previous and the static universe is the War of Independence between the Earth Sphere and the Kingdom of Astra, and also the Outer Nations Alliance. Three things that I've just said that it means nothing to most people, but hey, that's why we play this game, so that it will mean something to you at a point. And so we will be taking them around. As we are doing so, we're going to be building out the landscape of where we live. We're going to be describing what some of these mechs look like, giving actual physicality to these, at this point, nebulous shapes that exist in our world. And eventually we will get it back to its mech, where we will then depart from it. Okay, cool. Reading through this, this game starts off with the pilot describing themselves. And today our pilot is...
Today our pilot, played by me, is... Oh, should I start giving away my information?
Yeah, go for it. Introduce yourself to us, the children, and to them, the audience.
My name is Flix Stratus. Designation 360014, 2nd Ionian Battalion, Ferrata Division. I grew up on Io. I loved my son and daughter, Levity and Luminous. I wonder what happened to them.
Do you need additional information? Because I see name, unit, serial number. Oh, my last mission.
Yeah.
Okay.
My primary mission was to hijack a prototype weaponized armor unit and use it to destroy an experimental weapons research center. I was 43, but I've been asleep for so long.
I love that. So I guess let's break that down a little bit. So your pilot's from Io, which would put it in the Jovian sphere.
It would. I can tell you a little bit about Io if you'd like.
Yes, please do. Give us a sense of what that place is like.
Io is a cold world. It's out in the outer orbit of Saturn. It orbits the sun at 886 million imperial miles, 1.4 billion kilometers. The sunrise on Io can take 16 days. It rotates about in step with its orbit around the planet. Io is an icy moon with a surface of rock-hard water ice. But Titan, as well, has a liquid water ocean beneath its surface, so we are not alone. We are the only moon in the solar system that has a substantial nitrogen atmosphere. If it were not so cold, you could walk on the surface of Io with only an oxygen mask. It is uninhabitable. No one would choose to live there, but we make do.
Okay. So, with you being in the Jovian sphere, were you a member of the Kingdom of Astra?
I was indeed. I was pressed into service at the young age of 18 and was... I made myself into quite the upstanding soldier. Natum ad Astra. Born of the stars, we are.
Of course. For our players, Irene, Nathan, me, and then so the audience knows, that would make the pilot that we find our enemy, or our planet's enemy at a point. Do you want to describe, at the very least, what the Kingdom of Astra did to become our enemies?
Well, to say that we are your enemy, it is an incomplete story. After all, the Kingdom of Astra, we had our reasons to do what we did. We declared war on your world, and we dropped a few dozen tungsten rods from space. And yes, from your perspective, I understand why you would call this an apocalypse. I believe you called it Ragnarok, which is a little bit of an exaggeration.
To be more specific, the Kingdom of Astra, in their declaration of war on the Earth sphere, dropped 72 kinetic weapons on planet Earth relatively simultaneously.
But compared to the specter of oppression that Earth was imposing upon my people, 72 kinetic weapons seems like fair play, yes?
Some may say.
I really appreciate that. Was it Flix was your name?
Yes, Flix Stratus.
That's okay. That's what I thought. Of like that he interprets it as like, well, you guys are being a little dramatic in your word choice in the nuclear bombardment that we put on your planet.
That is the point. There were no nuclear warheads among them. Purely kinetic. Left no harmful radioactive waste to speak of. Relatively small.
Relatively small. Only a small apocalypse, you all. You guys are overreacting.
You guys just being very dramatic about our climate being destroyed, your climate being destroyed and killing millions, if not billions, of people all at once, and then many more slowly. It's very dramatic what you just said.
Hey, y'all are children. I don't know. I don't know if this heat.
Apparently I've made the choice that my child that I will be playing reads a lot of books, maybe propaganda books. I'm not sure.
Really into history. Really into war history. Amazing. So now that we know our not necessarily a war criminal, but war criminal apologist pilot.
Whoa, damn. Okay. All right. Listen.
What? Hey,
this was going to be a fair and balanced stream. I don't know. I'm feeling very attacked.
What happened to New
World? Is that both sides did bad things? That there are good people and bad people,
and bad people on both sides?
Well, perhaps the scales are not so even.
Of course. So now that we know that, let's talk about our kids really quick. So there are three of us all, obviously, Irene, Nathan, and myself. And let's just go one by one, giving our names, how old we are, and then once we do that, we can together figure out what we were doing when we found the Echo Drive and how we all know each other. Does anybody want to go first?
I'll be bold and go first. I've made a choice because of your repeated requests for a fun stream. despite us immediately starting to talk about
war crimes. Yeah.
I today, this evening, will be playing a skinny, fairly pale 11-year-old boy by the name of Marcel Rainy Days. And his last name is a, you know, kind of an aspirational name. You know, of better climates, of hopeful, you know, that there would be rain, essentially, and by naming this child this, that it was hopeful to bring at least a rainy day sometime in this child's lifetime that would not have been there otherwise. But also Marcel, consciously or unconsciously, reflects that a little bit in his countenance, in that he is kind of a bummer child sometimes. And I'm just imagining, like, just skinny, knobbly knees, limbs just a little starting to get a little too long for the body kind of vibes. Mm-hmm. Not quite emo hair, but like not emo hair. And that's kind of Marcel's deal, is that he's not, you know, he's nice enough. He's a nice kid. He tries, but he is kind of a bummer sometimes. He just kind of has a dour disposition, an old soul, as it were.
All right. Irene, what about yourself?
So I'm going to be playing, I think, like a 12-year-old girl. Her name is Belinda, but if you call her that, she's going to say something rude to you. And most people call her Bug. She likes those, and but you know, it's pretty hard to find bugs nowadays given the state of the environment. So she has sort of an almost fantasy-like fascination with bugs.
Ooh, I love that. Ooh, amazing. Okay, that brings it down to me as I go through my random word generator looking for names. Ooh, okay. I kind of like that as a first name. Sorry. Okay, that's a good first name. Huh. Okay. Oh, got it. Okay, cool. Today, I will be playing Accident Flock. They are they're 11. Accident is one of 13 children. They're somewhere in the middle there. I haven't quite decided. They're somewhere in the middle of those 13 children. And because of that, they tend to act out quite a bit. They get into trouble. You know, they like pulling pranks. Pranks are fun. Exploring also fun, especially when their parents are like, hey, you shouldn't be out. Get inside. The raiders are coming, or something like that. Accident is like, yeah, but I want to see them. They're cool. Like, come on. They've got those big trucks and they've got all those cool guns. That's dope. Let me see them. And their parents are like, get your ass inside. Yeah. a bit obnoxious, very excited for life, like a lust for exploration and to like learn new things. They like love like breaking things down, learning how they work. They love, and this also like includes people as well, which is a lot of times why they pull a lot of pranks on people, because they're like, that'd be like, I want to know like what makes you tick, like what are the things you care about, what's your breaking point, in a way that some people don't necessarily like, but they don't mean it maliciously.
Like, I'm gonna find your breaking point is an intense thing to say about an 11-year-old, but I'm here for it.
It's, I don't think they consciously think what's your breaking point, but it's like there's a subconscious of like they keep pushing just to see where the line is at so that they can understand how you're feeling and how you work. I love Accident. They're my child and my little baby. So we figured that out. Now we got to figure out how do we all know each well. Do we want to figure out how we know each other first, or where we found, or where and how we found the Echo Drive first?
I'm thinking how we know each other, because that might inform what we were doing together.
I agree. So, what are your thoughts? We can be schoolmates. We could be friends, just like in the town that we're in.
How old is Bug again?
I think I said she was 12.
I think that sounds right. Yeah. So what? I'm 11, 12.
How old did you say?
I'm 11 too.
Okay. We could be schoolmates. We all are relatively around the same age. Maybe not even like friends at school, but we all know, like we all go to the same school, so we know each other.
Yeah. And like, depending on how intense it is, where we're at and how like spread apart we are from other societies, like it could even be something where it's like essentially like a one room schoolhouse, basically, where there's not enough kids to support like multiple buildings, let alone multiple rooms. So it's like, you have 12 friends to choose from. Mm-hmm. And bad news, one of them has to be Marcel.
Hey, come on. I don't think Marcel sounds that bad. He just likes history. Okay, yeah, I guess we haven't met him. We haven't really met Marcel yet.
Yeah, I like being schoolmates, even if we're not like necessarily close like friends per se.
Yeah. Because I feel like it could be one person found it, or like we all relatively found it around the same time, and one person said, oh, I'm going to go do this and help them. And then everyone else is like, I'm going to. Hold on a second. You're not leaving me out. Or at least that's how Accident feels.
I think Bug and Accident get along.
Yeah. I was going to say, if not, I think they're at minimum, it sounds very kindred spirity, where like your twin chaotic energies would often point in the same directions at minimum. And isn't that what a lot of childhood friendships are about ultimately?
Mm-hmm. That's true. So Bug and Accident, friends, Marcel there.
Around.
Around. Existed.
I think, so what do you think sounds more likely? Either Bug or Accident finds it, and then both of them are like, oh yeah, we're gonna go do this thing. And then Marcel's like, I'm tagging along. Or the other way around, Marcel finds it, and the two of us are like, oh, this sounds fun.
Marcel finds it, wants to investigate, and the only people willing to come along.
The two children. Okay.
I think that's the call. Because I was imagining it as kind of like Marcel like not wanting to be left alone. And then so following along, but also not like being a little curious, but not so curious that he would like take action to do anything. So I'm very on board with like him being the one to like come across it and then be like, huh, wait, I think I know what this is, explaining it. And then you guys are like, well, obviously we have to go do something with it. And then Marcel we have to do what now?
Yeah. Okay. I like that a lot. What do you think Marcel, like, what was Marcel doing when he found the Echo Drive?
God, he was obviously walking his dog.
Was it hidden somewhere? Was it in a shop?
Yeah, I'm imagining it's one of those where like they are slightly outside of the outskirts of this town are, right? Like for our adventure to work, I would imagine it needs to be sort of locked down for your nuclear or non-nuclear, Flex.
It's been at least at the point that we're talking about post-war takes about 100 years.
Yeah.
I think that we're somewhere post that. So we're probably, let's say, 150 years removed from the start of the war.
Cool. Yeah.
Does that sound about right, Ibrahim?
I believe that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. But like, you know, it is open enough that we could conceivably just be kind of walking in and out without too much trouble. And yeah, I'm just imagining Marcel is just like wandering around, you know, whatever the equivalent of the crick is in this neck of the woods, you know, and just like there kicking rocks and exploring and checking out what tiny scant plant life might remain, and dog running around. And you guys could either be there or have followed or be whatever, but like that, and then he, you know, it could even be the literal classic, like the dog starts pawing at something and then he's like, what's that, boy? And events proceed.
I kind of like the idea that if it is in the, there's like, it's like, you know, sun shining down, the glints of metal in the creek, and then like dog starts barking, someone goes out there, swims out there and like gets it out.
I think my little echo drive is just like repeating, I'm just repeating the same message over and over. Designation 360014, designation 360014.
Oh, we would immediately just be like, what is that? What's that? Oh, that's so good. Okay, I love it. Cool. So we find it. I like the idea of, in my mind, Bug and Accident are just throwing rocks into the lake. I don't know. I don't want to put that on you, but Accident is throwing rocks in the lake. That's how I'm around. I end up being around.
I think Bug knows how to skip rocks, tried to explain to Accident that you can make them go real far, and then just like gave up.
Yeah, Accident doesn't get it. Accident tried it a couple of times, got like one, it messed up, and then they were just like, I just like Big Splash. And then does big rock and lake. Okay, cool. So now that we kind of have a better idea of how we found it, how we know each other, our kind of relationship with each other, once we find the Echo Drive, let's teach it a little bit about our world. And so if you open up the Roll 20, we have our map here. So, okay, children, teach the pilot about your world. The Echo Drive can speak and hear, but not see. So be their eyes. Start by making a map, marking where you found the drive. Was it a cave, beach, an orchard? And then as we describe more locations, we'll add more. So, Nathan, you're the one who described how you found it. Please draw somewhere on this map where that creek might be.
Wait, I got to get the correct color for water here. Does that work?
Yeah,
it did show up.
Yeah, it did show up.
What scale of is a hex? Does it matter? Is this a map drawn by children?
Yeah, it's a map drawn by children. So I don't think it particularly matters. I can also add more space to this if we start making a bunch of things and want to spread them out a little bit more.
Gonna make it longer. Try and stop me.
I mean, this is maybe, you know, we can find it like just on this part of it. This is just the whole creek. It's not necessarily the part that was found at. So, awesome. Cool. And so we will also choose if the world is advanced or low tech. I think we are like in like a fine in between here, right? Where I think there is a lot of old tech that was working that is still available that people can scrap and reuse. So I don't think low tech necessarily feels right, but I also think that I'm looking through like some of the low tech options for stuff, and I don't think any of them are necessarily like wrong to choose. I would say, I mean, honestly, there are 9 of them. Darn. What we can do is roll 1d12. No, sorry, 1d10. And on a 10, you roll twice again and take both of them.
Okay. Ooh. Can I ask why? Oh, you're getting multiple.
I was getting
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, if you roll a d10, you get multiple. And then that gives us even more of like a mismatch of like flavor for. So the first thing we have to do, children, we have to choose one hometown or more from either the thing, or we can roll it. And then when we mark it on the map, we are choosing our hometown, and we will be able to, you know, kind of describe what it looks like and such. Do we want to choose one? on here that feels like it makes the most sense for us, or do we want to roll?
I'm kind of in, and maybe this is just how my brain like was picturing it, because it was maybe too Mad Maxy in my brain, but I like the vibe of lonely oasis on the edge of desert or dry scrubland, mm-hmm. in part because like it's cool that there is a creek or little body of water there, but like, yeah. I love the image of finding this strange high-tech piece of equipment, presumably, in mm-hmm. just like mud and dirt and like chalky wasteland, and then like deciding to venture out into the wasteland to mm-hmm. do that is intense, and I think would potentially say a lot about like who these kids are and why yeah. they would do that. And you can have that with a lot of these too, but that's one route that jumps out at me a bit.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Irene, do you have any thoughts?
I mean, I was definitely thinking sort of like there's almost their little settlement has maybe like a quaint pastoral feel, like it's like a, you know, one room schoolhouse, yeah. the sort of buildings, mm-hmm. but then like just slightly too far out past town is like absolute, you know, wilderness. And it's like, exactly. don't go out in there. You don't know if you'll come back.
Yeah.
Which nobody ever listens to.
Of course, but, especially not the kids. Yeah, right. No, I really like that. Okay, cool. So we're in a nice little oasis right outside of a wasteland. We can also draw some more stuff that help, I think. So, well, we're saying there's a big wasteland out here, and then be like, look at all this sand. Look at this desert. Oh no.
The best is that it wasn't showing up for me in my roll 20 yet, so it's just a lot of dramatic noises for nothing. as far as my computer was.
No, I yeah, swear.
Refresh the roll 20.
I see it on stream. Oh, and of course, right as I hit refresh is when it is pops into existence.
Oh, God. I think I had to hit
something. Oh, you have to finish the shape, yeah.
That's it.
That would explain it, huh?
Oh, wow. That is a lot of sand out there.
A wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wasteland, you know? Awesome. So, bam, we got our little desert here. One quick question for the pilot. Was the world as advanced then as it is now? How has it regressed?
I think that as we get into it, I'll have more to say about it. But I think the world has regressed a little bit. I think that I would look at this little oasis town and wonder where their defenses were and where all the warriors were. Why they didn't have any orbital launch stations in this village, or I think I would look at it and just be really puzzled.
I really like the vibe of not just that, because it's been a long time, right? Not just that the world was more advanced and society was more advanced, but like things are still bad and sparse enough that even any advancement that may have happened might not have reached everywhere. You know, yeah. like we might still be operating on stuff that's, you know, that we scrapped 20, 30 years ago, whereas some other cities might exist somewhere, but like we're not connected to them. So,
yeah, they have more resources and like more connections with other stuff. And they've just been like rebuilding while it's a lot harder for us because we don't have those same resources and such. I like that a lot. Awesome. Okay. So with that, it's about time that we get in each of we get into this process. Here's how journeys work. Children, each of you in turn leads the group on a journey to a mech, a mighty wreck that lies silent, disarmed, and harmless. The oldest child goes first, which I think in our case is Bug, or they decide who do. Choose a description and a fate, or roll a die for each, then mark it on the map. Any child can add details to the story. How large was the mech? Was it humanoid or bestial? Colors of the armor, if there's any left. Thrusters, wings, specialized limbs. And then pilot, after we describe it, or I guess during this, you know, during the description, if you come up with it, what do you remember of this mech? Were they friend or foe? Hero or craven? How did it meet its end? And how do you feel about its final resting place? Ask questions about the mech until you're satisfied. Then say, let's move on. The next child takes their turn to journey to another mech until the final mech. Does anyone have any questions about what we are about to do?
If we're rolling or choosing one, I suppose. How are we all good with an amount of artistic license that we're taking in terms of like if we're going out into the wastelands, some of these mm-hmm. have like some like social stuff built around them you know, yeah. of like, ah, yeah, like this is a place where people know and go to hang out or whatever. Can we adjust or expand or contract upon that? I assume that's good, but just check in beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say view each description in Fate as a suggestion to build off of and expand however you would like.
Mm-hmm. And I will, just to add on to that, I think that it's reasonable that there would be this small settlement or city or village, and there would be other settlements that you know of, other settlements that you like, oh, that's where we get mushrooms from, or that's where we get goat milk from. But there's also mm-hmm. places that you probably heard of, or like, oh, I didn't think that was real. There's these varying levels of, especially when you're a child, space and distance and time and like travel time to different locations, it's all very fuzzy. So mm-hmm. the idea that like these kids wouldn't realize that, oh, that place is not right over there, that's like a whole day, or that place is actually right around the corner, relatively speaking. If you haven't had reason to go there, you wouldn't know.
All right. Any other questions?
No, ready to rock and roll.
Awesome.
Well, hey there, family. Sorry to have to interrupt the program, but our producers over at Tales Yet Told has some copy for Old Sunlight to read to you. Just a little something to help keep the lights on and the data streams flowing. So, here we go. Prayers in the Static is brought to you by Tales Yet Told, and normally streams live at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time every other Friday over at church.tv/bardsandbrews. You can find more information about the streams and our other shows and projects over on our Twitter and Instagram page, at Tales Yet Told. Don't forget to let us know how we're doing by leaving us a review and a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. It's the best way to let people know that you like the show, so we can keep building our little family here. Also, Tales Yet Told is a part of the Be Gay Roll Dice Network, a group of fascinating queer creators making actual play content and telling stories for queer people by queer people. And yeah, that's it, I guess. I got an ad reel to play next, but after that, we're back on with the show. So I'll talk to you later, family, and stay safe. We're all we've got out here.
Something is wrong in the city of Astoria Heights, and the only ones who can set it right are a would-be starlet, a nun with strangely prophetic dreams, and a mobster on a divine mission. They know that a rift will open up in the city, utterly destroying it. And they know this because they've lived it more than once. Fate is dead, and they're the replacements. The Last Tapestry is a D&D 5e podcast featuring an all-LGBTQ cast set in a homebrew world with a 1920s aesthetic. Find it on your favorite podcast app or follow it on Twitter at The Last Tapestry to find out when new episodes drop.
Oh, ho, ho, it's your host with the most love for milk and cookies, Santa Harry, from 2048 AM, Voices in the Wood, and I hope you've been a very good little boy and or girl. If you've been naughty, I'll know. Okay, sorry, I could keep that up. Some middle schooler was telling us this story about some old guy from the, you know, the outside world called Santa that apparently watches over everyone all year, then gives them gifts at the end of it if they were good, and coal if they were bad or something. He's got like elves that make it's kind of crazy. It's wow. Like, imagine that. Imagine living in a world where it was normal, where there was some guy who doesn't really know you deciding if you deserved, like, a gift or coal or whatever. Or, like, what if his gift is bad? You know, I prefer the gift to choose what I'm gonna buy. I love a gift card, and actually, don't tell Reggie this, but I'm getting him a Hero Forge gift card. Yeah, he doesn't know, but he wasn't able to get a miniature when the rest of us got one because, you know, he said, like, he's the GM. He doesn't have a character, but I know that he designed his favorite NPC on their website. I mean, they have dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. And the gift card will just let him choose whatever material he wants, or if he even wants it printed at all. Hero Forge also offers digital miniatures and STL files for home printing, which
Maggie explained to me after last time. It also works on their pro subscription, so with the Hero Forge gift card, the power and freedom is in his hand to choose whatever he wants to do. And isn't that a gift we all deserve? If you want to know more, go to heroforge.com to do just that. It's probably time to get on with the show, so let's see. Next up, we have Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Reggie, put it on.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
With Bug being the oldest, so you get to choose who goes first, whether it be you or someone else.
I think it's only fitting that Marcel goes first since he found the little box.
As you started saying, I think it's only fitting, I was like, it's going to be me, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can sense. Okay. So I'm going to roll. I think that's what I'm going to do at least for now till we kind of get some flow going. Yeah. So are we rolling D6s?
No, let's. So we had talked about rolling D10s.
Well, right? Because there aren't there.
There's nine.
There's nine.
There's nine options because overlap, right?
There's three overlap.
Oh, okay.
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in total.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Right. You have the D10, and then double if you got it.
Yeah. So if you roll a 10, you'll roll it two more times, and then mash those suggestions together.
Okay. So, description fate. Okay. Ooh, okay. So the three of us start to, you know, you guys slowly but surely cajole Marcel into coming with you guys. I imagine he knows a good amount about it, at least enough to be, you know, have functional knowledge of what it is that they're holding. And we start, you know, kind of scampering off, and we walk for a ways, not too off into the wilderness or into the wilds yet, but it very quickly turns into, and I don't even know how would we choose a direction? Like, do we know based, like, does the little box have a, like a homing beacon kind of situation? Ooh. Or how do we choose question. Which way we go?
Well, I don't think you would have a homing beacon just yet. I think that you would just have to choose a direction. Like, perhaps if you were to, like, ask me, like, where are you trying to go?
Of course.
Yeah.
I forgot that we could talk to the box. I'm imagining that, like, you guys start, like, taking off with the box. I eventually catch up. Marcel does. And, you know, it's like, where are you guys even going? You know, like, you don't know where we're going. And what are we doing? Where are we going? What's going on here? This is not safe. This is, what are we doing? And either we stop to ask the box, which direction do we need to go? Or something like that. Or maybe even the box, like, chimes in or does something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think, feel free to not use this, but I think if there was a mech around the town, if you knew where the ruins of the closest one were, maybe one that was being, like use as a playground, you would assume, oh, there's an echo drive.
Love that.
The mech's right there. That's the first place we go. It has to be that one.
I was going
to
say something similar with like, it sounds like there's wreckage of a bunch of stuff kind of nearby. So like, I feel like we are like rapid fire listing off every single building we can think of that has a mech part in like just integrated into it in some capacity. And we just keep going. And Marcel's like, okay, but do you guys want to pick one to keep going? And we're like, oh, and the schoolhouse. Did you know that, you know, Mr. Jenkins' chimney actually is like a gun? That's kind of weird. And then
like... In that case, the outside of our town, like you said, there's a lot of bits and bobbles, a lot of, you know, playgrounds, essentially, that are made of mech parts or old rusted chimneys or whatever. But the one in our town is the most iconic, the most, when you think of a crashed mech, you think of this, and it's actually outside of the town. And it is a single hand that is outstretched out of the ground, frozen in kind of, it depends on who you ask, whether it is a menacing claw or simply a hand outstretched to grab something. And it is well outside of the town and is a place where our village leaders, whatever they are, whoever they are, and the village leaders of other places nearby come to meet. Just as kind of a, like, let's check in, let's talk about stuff. If we have mushrooms to trade or whatever it is that our particular settlements collect, create, whatever. And we're all like, this is a whole, like a whole piece of something. And it's outside of the city. And like, that's the big piece is like this arm hand thing. So like, we should check there. And so we start beelining that direction. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while because, again, this is kind of one of those, like, it's so pseudo equidistant from all these other villages that are close enough but not super close. And we walk there and it takes a while, but soon we approach it and we see that there is kind of a makeshift, almost like tent city all around it. Not a city. City's a little dramatic, but like several tents, and it seems like there's some degree of structure there. And flying from one of the like outstretched fingers of the hand is a small banner that is waving like a really long trail, like almost like really thin, like a, it looks like a string or a ribbon tied around a hand. And the three of us would know, for whatever reason, or one of the three of us would know that that actually means that the leaders are here talking right now about something. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's secret. Maybe it is just that we are not clued in when local politics is happening as middle schoolers, both of which seem reasonable. But also, this is, you know, when these things happen, they can be a big deal and are often like accompanied with some degree of like festival and fanfare and, you know, a gathering of some sort beyond kind of the politics, if that makes sense. And so that is where we head and what we see ahead of us.
Yeah. Okay. Is as details or like kind of getting more details, I guess, from of like what the actual like mech hand looks like. Is it a hand or is it a claw? I guess is my first one.
Yeah.
My first
so question. Because we were we thinking were the mechs based in Earth, were those more of the animal based ones?
Those are more the animal based ones.
So I'll say it is a little more claw like than just like a human hand. But again, it's still at least poised in a way that is, I don't know, maybe it was a raccoon mech.
Yeah, so it looks
like a Tanuki mech, but
yeah. So it's not like a full paw. It does kind of have a
some digits to it, basically.
Yeah. I think
than that's just really like cool. A flat whatever kind of paw. But yeah, it is. We would know, and probably our various villages would know, and therefore gravitate towards more of an animal one, knowing that it was ours, as opposed to a reminder of like, ah, yes, here are the ones that are not ours that has really caused all of this.
I love the idea of us coming up like trying to sneak around all of the leaders of all these mm-hmm. towns. Who do we think is leading here? I mean, I guess Marcel is the person. Yeah, Marcel is the person leading.
Leading is a nebulous term, I would say.
Yeah, walking in front. Yeah, instance. I think that's a good word for it.
So I guess Marcel, it must be holding the echo because it doesn't sound like the other kids would let Marcel lead otherwise. Mm-hmm.
True. That's probably a good call.
So I think this whole time I've just been like repeating my designation because I don't know. I don't think anyone's talked to me yet. So I am not aware that people can hear me.
Hey, wait.
Designation 36-0014. Requesting backup. Designation 36-0014. Requesting backup.
What is it? What does it want backup from?
Can't state your name. Can you hear me?
Drops
it.
Hey, what? Don't, you're gonna break it. Come on.
Hello. Can you hear me? Do you read me?
Yes. We read you loud and clear.
Read what? It's a box.
That's what like the military people say when they're like reading, like hearing, I guess. Reading, hearing.
This is Flix Stratish. Designation 36-0014. State your allegiance.
That's a weird name.
State your allegiance.
We all go to Oakville Middle School. Does that answer your question?
Repeat? Did you say Oakville Middle School?
Yeah.
I like that we're all just like cringing like, at each other and just be like,
yeah. What do we say to this box? Oakville Middle School Depot.
Where is Oakville Middle School? What world are we on?
It's a weird question, right?
Shouldn't you know?
As you may be able to see, I am currently in my Echo Drive. I am not here. Please state what world we're on to determine what information I'm able to disclose.
We're on Earth?
I see.
I don't think it sounded happy about that. I think the box is...
It didn't like that.
I think the box is upset.
Do we know what an echo drive is? What is that thing?
I don't know. Wait, hold on. Hold. We full on have started role playing. I think Accident keeps a little journal on them of like random things that they've learned, and they start go flipping through and like oh. It's like a person in a box, kind of. It's like a copy of a person in a box. I think this used to be a mech pilot.
Does that mean they're
captured by children?
Dead?
It's a copy, so they might not be dead.
Okay.
Are you dead?
Can we ask that?
I already did, so it might be too late.
I want to know.
The box starts like making weird clicking noises. Like, beep. Beep, beep.
Oh no. Is it gonna blow up?
It's the bomb.
I think Accident picks it up, tosses it like a couple like
please do not them, toss
and them. then grab like both of them like
action down.
Just like tackles them.
Yeah, tackles them down.
Oh no.
I am not a lot. Can you hear me? I heard the wind whistling. I can't see and I can't feel, but I can hear that. I was thrown.
Are you gonna, are you going to like a blow up?
I'm not going to blow up.
Do you
promise?
Promise.
Yeah.
I am incapable of blowing up. I guarantee that. I can tell from the diagnostics in here that I'm not connected to my mech.
True.
Then I am dead. Or at least my physical form is dead, which might be too heavy for you children. How. Perhaps we've gotten off on the wrong foot, and the accent just totally shifts. Like, my name is Flix Stratus. I was a soldier, we'll call it that. Do you know what a soldier is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It is very important that you get this box, as you called it, to the mech that it came from. Can you put me back in the mech where you found me?
Well, we're near the biggest mech we know about.
Interesting. So you didn't find me in a mech already?
We found you in a creek.
In a creek?
You know, like the creek.
Sorry, I nodded. Yes.
Please keep in mind, I only have auditory data. I can hear you and I can speak to you. I cannot see and I cannot feel. Not right now.
Do you not know what a creek is?
I know what a creek is. I was asking for clarity.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
No, that is my mistake. I forget that I also do not have a body to gesture with. So we'll have to make do. You said there was a mech nearby.
Uh-huh.
If you could, and if it is safe, please take me there.
Sure, a little risky, you guys.
We're kind of near, but we don't want to get in trouble. So we don't really want to go any closer right now.
Okay. Can you see the mech from where you are?
Yeah.
Can you describe it to me?
It's a hand.
It's a big hand.
It's like more a like claw. A claw, yeah, really. Like a,
yeah, that, claw hand.
Like a, it's like a, does that help?
Is it intact? How many fingers?
Five.
Checking for concussion. How many fingers? How many hand holding up?
It's, there are
That's
five.
That's very funny. That's very smart of you. I'm glad that you know the steps to check for CTE.
Yeah, it's well. It's just. I think it's like a. It's just like a hand, and then like a well, like the part of a forearmy kind of situation, but like it's sticking out. So I don't know if there's like
it's,
more.
It's got pointy claws on the end, or maybe they're nails.
I think it used to be green. It's got kind of like a faded.
That is not. Green. That does not sound like my machine.
Do you know this one?
From the sound of it, I would say that you were describing a green devil.
A what?
A green devil is one of the mechs that was levied against my people by the United Earth Nations, which I am now realizing may have been an error to say.
What? Wait, guys.
Hello? Are you the one
I can hear you.
We've been talking this whole time from like 15 to 20 feet away and just screaming. Over at this box, and we
You're getting further away. You're going the wrong way,
guys. I think this echo drive belonged to one of the Astrons.
Yep, I think so too. That's bad, right? That's bad.
No, they're the bad guys. They're the bad guys.
Oh, cool. Sorry, I really don't pay attention in school.
Come on, Bug. they're the ones. They're the ones who dropped the things.
Oh, who dropped the big rocks?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool. I wonder if he could tell us what that looked like from space.
Ooh.
Guys, I think we're losing focus a little bit. A box is a dead guy, and it's a bad guy also.
But does it count as helping the enemy if he's already dead, or are we just like learning now?
I don't know. And like, what happens when we put it back?
What about this? We don't put it back, but we get it to find out which mech is it, and then we can take it for the village. We get it to activate the mech, we take it back, and we get a cool big robot. Everyone, like, that's like the best, like, that's like the best history project, right?
Yeah, but do any of these things still work?
I don't, well, it still works. So why wouldn't the mech still work?
I don't. I think we should tell, but like right over there.
No. Listen. If you find something cool and you tell the grown up about it, they take the cool thing away.
Yeah.
I mean that. But you have to.
Accident.
Trust
remember
them.
The cool lighter you found?
Oh, immediately. That lighter is so cool.
Yeah.
It immediately almost burned down a building.
Yeah, but it would have been good. Cool.
See, this is why we needed to hide that.
I disagree with that.
Cool. You're such a buzzkill. Okay. What if? Hey. Astron guy.
Yes. You can call me Flix.
Yes, Flix.
Flix. If we get you back to your mech, can you turn your mech back on?
Or like, what's your plans? Like, why should we plug you in?
It is absolutely imperative. Excuse me. It is very important that you bring me back to my mech. My mech is the last place where my body was. It is just very important to me that I return there.
Is there going to be a skeleton in there?
I am glad that the specter of death does not weigh heavily on your conscience, my child.
It weighs on mine.
Maybe. There's no way to know.
I mean,
let's go find the skeleton box.
I think we can find it. If we help you find it, will you show us how your mech works?
I would be happy to show you and tell you everything about my mech, as long as you can return me to it.
I'm not seeing any downsides here.
Yeah, this seems like a good trade.
Come on. Yes, okay. Small, anxious child. You should listen to your friends.
I don't like how pushy this box is being.
Me, Kendrick, also doesn't like how pushy this box is being.
In fact, what are their names?
He's the enemy. I don't think we should say not our real names. What if he's a spy?
Agent. I've been asleep for a very long time. I doubt that it is important to keep your identity secret, but if it makes you more comfortable, please. Nicknames are fine.
My name is Agent Agent.
Oh, sure. Agent Agent. And the other two?
These guys are ridiculous. I'm Bug. Nice to meet you, Mr. Flixbox.
It is very nice to meet you, Bug. Thank you for your honesty and for your trust.
Okay, fine. My name is Accident.
Accident. That's your name is... Your parents named you this?
Yeah.
Do you have many siblings?
Accident Flock.
Do you have many siblings, Accident?
12.
My condolences.
Yeah. There's a mistake. Oopsie. Tragedy.
Oh, no.
Favorite.
I think your parents need to go to parent jail.
They're not bad.
Favorite flock.
Yes. On a personal note, you should perhaps, I don't know, if there is an option for you to stay with an aunt or an uncle, someone who is not involved in naming you Accident, I would look into it.
Okay.
And you? Distrustful child?
People always act this way when I tell them my name.
It's every time. It's just a whole rigmarole. I start listing off all my siblings' names and all like, those are bad names. Every time.
I want to know about, I like every single one of those. There's a story there.
Yeah, absolutely.
The story is their parents need a TV.
Okay. I'm M.
M. Okay. I can call you M. It is very nice to meet you. Now, unfortunately, the one that you are looking at, the machine that you are looking at, is not mine. It sounds like one that I fought frequently back in the war. But if there is another mech nearby that you know of, I would greatly appreciate your help.
I think I know of one. You guys just... And we'll like go over, pick up the box and like, come on, follow me.
Do we draw the little hand on the map?
Oh yeah. Let's draw the hand on the map.
Oh god, does that mean I have to draw the hand?
Well, now that you've said that, yes.
Do you want to?
Yep. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. We said it was green.
Mm-hmm. Used to be.
Used to be green.
It'll be green in this representation too. So we'll say, do we want to go north or south, everybody?
I think should it be in the wasteland or should it be not in the wasteland?
I'm gonna say not in the wasteland, okay. Because then it'll be like between other settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, that's. I don't want it to be pink. No.
Green and pink, no. kind of good. Kind of a good color.
Very scary. Very scary.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's long ring fingers. This is a hand. Drawing with mice is hard. Roll 20. Not an app designed for drawing.
No. What did you say that it was named again?
I called it the Green Devil.
The Green Devil. I'm just going to put its name here.
I'm gonna go ahead and cross that off.
Love that.